Hello and welcome to the podcast. You're listening to Be Uncluttered. I'm Rebecca Mazzino and with me is Tara Tuttle, and together we are going to help you on your journey to a life free of clutter.
Hi and welcome to the show today. We are discussing compulsive shopping disorder today, which is also known as compulsive buying disorder. And this is not just the low level, I really love shopping, but more when your shopping becomes, you know, a significant problem to the point of being a clinically diagnosed problem. And we want to delve into that today and have a look at what's involved in compulsive shopping disorder. Do you know anyone that has it, Beck?
I don't know anyone who has been officially diagnosed. Usually my clients who are compulsively acquiring have hoarding disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the hoarding disorder that causes the compulsive acquisition. So I have definitely had clients that do love to shop, but I'm not sure whether they've had an official diagnosis or not, but there'd be some that for sure would have been close to it. Yeah,
and I think when it comes to actual diagnosis, I think quite often it ends up being categorized under impulse control disorders, so same zone as things like OCD and, you know, other disorders where it's about being able to control your urges. So quite often they get bundled together. And then if there's other disorders that are present, either mental health or things like anxiety, quite often they all get kind of put in one pile. So it's hard to know exactly. Yeah. But, I mean, effectively compulsive buying disorder, and it's also called, now I'm going to say oniomania, which is probably very Australian way to say that, but it's spelled O-N-I-O, mania. Yeah. But then I think of the word onion and think, is it oniomania?
Oniomania. Yeah?
I don't know. I probably should have looked up Google.
I think I would go with oniomania.
Oniomania. Okay, let's go with that. And basically it's an ongoing and insatiable urge to buy things, but to the point where it results in adverse consequences. So, you know, all of us have been known to have a bit of a shopping spree, but compulsive buying disorder is more about, you know, when it starts to negatively impact your life. It's characterized in the DSM as an excessive desire for acquisition and an inability to control the purchase of the new objects, despite the awareness of the inappropriateness of the behavior. So people are aware that it's not ideal or that there's going to be adverse consequences to the purchasing, but they do it anyway, which is different to other people that, you know, maybe have some kind of other illnesses where they don't realize that compulsive buying is a bad thing. These people know it is not ideal, and they know it's going to affect them adversely, but they do it anyway. But
they can't not do it. Yeah.
Mm.
Okay. So some of the characteristics of compulsive shopping disorder, obviously, as you've already mentioned, there is that impulse control problem.
Yeah, and quite often it correlates as well with having low self-esteem. So the buzz that you get from shopping is a bonus, but also I guess there must be something in there that feeds, you know, your desire of worthiness and having, you know, improving your general feeling.
Which makes sense given that we're always told that buying things makes us happier.
Yep.
Or better.
And quite often there's a preoccupation with shopping for unneeded items, and the people that suffer with this end up spending a really large amount of time doing research on the items that they're looking for and the shopping for those items. So it's not just that they spend a lot of time in shopping malls walking around and acquiring things. They might decide that they want that watch and they'll spend a lot of time researching, looking, comparing prices maybe, or do they have it at this store? Do they have it at that store? What other colours does it come in? Who else wears it? Does anyone famous wear it? You know, like they do a whole swag of research over something that they don't necessarily need, but they're, you know, become quite fixated.
Because I always see compulsive shopping, and again, I didn't know a lot about the disorder, but the compulsive shopping sort of behaviours, I always see that as impulsive, buying things when you see them. because you see them and then you have to have them. So I didn't realize that the disorder involved premeditated purchasing as well.
And I think it's both, but the impulsivity also comes with that they might just see someone wearing it on a TV show and have the impulse to acquire that item, and then they'll do the research and then they'll buy it. So it's quite, you know, can be quite premeditated, but the impulsivity is not just in the picking it up and putting it in their trolley. It's also in the seeing something and deciding they want it. There's also, and this is probably tied in with the low self-esteem, you know, that they have a general vulnerability to negative emotions and to cultural influence, like we said, and find it just impossible to resist the purchase. Like, you know, we've all been there where you see something, you think, oh, I really want it. I know I shouldn't. I haven't put the money away, or I've already got one of those and I shouldn't. Oh. It's like they either don't have the self-talk or just have an inability to resist acquiring the item. Mm. And that must make life very difficult, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I was thinking as you were talking as well, it's sort of in these definitions, they talk about unneeded items. And with a lot of clients that I've had, it's actually, they actually acquire unwanted things. So they actually want to buy the thing, but they don't want the thing. Does that make sense? Like they want the shopping process to happen, but they don't want the thing at the end of it. It's kind of like people who steal, have compulsively steal. They often don't want the thing, but they just want the feeling that comes with stealing it. Yeah. And I'm just thinking that perhaps with, I don't know if it's part of this definition, you've done more research than me, but whether or not it's actually unwanted items as well, because there are a lot of things that I have unearthed at my clients' homes where they have not remembered purchasing it, or they've purchased it and they've said, oh, I didn't actually want that. It was just a really good bargain and I thought maybe I could find someone to give it to later. And I'm wondering if that's part of it as well.
I think most of the data and the, you know, details that come out about this, certainly from the research I've done online, do talk about unneeded. So I think there is a genuine desire. I don't know if the desire is around just the buying behavior, like whether it's just around that dopamine hit of purchasing, or if it's about, you know, the full acquisition. So the purchasing and, you know, the taking home or the, you know, possession of the item. But yeah, it certainly does all refer to items being unneeded rather than unwanted. So
yeah,
interesting. Says that the buying behavior is, you know, experienced as a relief from the negative emotions. So because people that suffer with this are really vulnerable to negative emotions and low self-esteem and, you know, feeling quite down, they see this purchasing. And quite often it can be in the case of purchasing excess stuff for other people as well, gifts. And so then people get a real buzz, not just from the purchasing, but from, you know, forecasting how much someone will love this. You know, they buy excessively for, you know, kids' birthdays or for friends, spend way more than they should or, you know, is in, you know, expected of them, because they get tied up in that good feeling of how generous they will feel and how much the person will love it. And there's, you know, when you're suffering with low self-esteem and, you know, are exposed to a whole lot of negative stuff, the idea of how elated you will feel and how elated that person will feel kind of pulls you out of those depths. And then I guess the problem is you experience all that through the process of purchasing and then that feeling subsides and so you go looking for it again, whether it be for yourself or for someone else. The problem is then it ends up usually resulting in financial difficulties because this shopping and spending is completely uncontrolled.
And that can cause problems with relationships and obviously your financial situation as well.
Yeah, and because it is a disorder and it is something that people might recognize in themselves but don't necessarily want to go and speak to someone about, because people, it's something that people think they can handle and manage themselves, then they end up hiding expenses.
Because everyone shops after all. So
yeah, that's it. So then they try and hide expenses or hide purchases from family members or friends. you know, and then that can result in problems at work as well, or at school or at home, because of this uncontrolled shopping, not only the time it takes and the money that you spend, but also the preoccupation with what you're buying, what you're looking for, if you can get it in the right size, that kind of thing. It can really kind of start derailing your life. And that is why it is a disorder. It is not just someone that really likes all the pretty things they see on Pinterest and wishes they owned them. This, you know, goes over that line where it starts negatively affecting your relationships and the way you live. And, you know, that's where it becomes diagnosed.
So how many people do you reckon would have this disorder? Did you find that stat?
Yeah, I did a very quick Google. And so the stat is that I've found is only relevant to the US, but it says 6% of the population in the US have compulsive shopping disorder, and that females are 9 times more likely to be affected than males. And I don't know why that is. It may just be that females generally shop more for the household, for gifts, for family, that kind of thing. So maybe if there's a predisposition towards it, they're more likely to fall into the trap of, you know,
through exposure. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Mm. So it's more prevalent than I thought.
Yeah. I mean, you and I, we see excessive shopping all the time in our clients. So, and I'm just wondering, maybe more of those people that I see actually could have the disorder than I think. Yeah.
Mm. So one thing that I think of when looking at these kind of stats, and, you know, I've been known to love a good shopping spree in my time, and I've got plenty of friends that would call themselves shopaholics, and they're probably listening, you're probably listening going, is this, so hang on now, do I have compulsive shopping disorder? And this was something I found when I was at uni, is every time I heard about a new disorder, I diagnosed someone that I knew, and I would go home on the weekends and I'd be like, oh, Mum, I think so-and-so, I think Aunt Kathy's got schizophrenia. And Mum would be like, what? Because she meets like one of the symptoms. I'm like, yep. And then the next week I'd learn about another disorder. Oh, I think Uncle Fred has got, and Mum was like, stop. Like everyone in our family had disorders, because you would hear something and you go, I can relate to that. You know, you
grab to it. Yeah.
Someone might hear what we've just said and said, you know, loves shopping, loves the buzz, hides expenses and thinks, oh no, I'm a compulsive shopper. Being a or having compulsive shopping disorder or compulsive buying disorder is not the same as being a shopaholic. Many people love shopping, get a buzz, get that dopamine high from purchasing something new, and plenty of people have a tendency to spend too much occasionally when they're on the spree, and I have definitely done this before. That is not the same as suffering from compulsive shopping or compulsive buying disorder. So I want to run through a few things, few identifiers, I guess, so that, you know, if you can relate to these, you know that, you know, you might have a problem and it might be something worth investigating more and talking to someone about. So the first one is when you are spending more than you can afford. And okay. We, you know, like, I love a good Christmas sale, usually right, you know, or after Christmas, post-Christmas sales, I should say. But I write a list for months beforehand of the things that I think we need or that are wearing out that I want to replace. But if we've travelled or it's been a big Christmas and we can't afford it, then either I don't go or I only spend within the budget I've set. So when you find yourself maybe not just once but repeatedly spending more than you can afford at the time, even though you know you can't afford it, then, you know, that could be a bit of a red flag.
Yeah, so it's when that natural boundary or that natural limit of your budget is ignored because of the compulsion.
Another way you might, you know, realize that you've got a problem is when you have ongoing feelings of anxiety and guilt about your shopping behavior, not just, I spent too much at the stores today, I feel a bit bad, and in a month, you know, it's completely off your radar. But when this happens again and again and you are constantly in this state of anxiety or tension about I've bought too much, I've spent too much, we can't afford it, what do I do? I feel really bad. Oh, I might go and shop to make myself feel better. Now I feel really, really bad. You know, like that ongoing.
Yeah. And then you lie, so you feel worse because you're lying as well as overspending. Yeah.
Yeah. Another way you might indicate that it's more than just loving a good shop occasionally is when you start shopping for the wrong reasons. So if you feel angry about something or you feel depressed or you feel overwhelmed or you feel bored and your first inkling is to go shopping, maybe that might indicate that you're not handling things in the right way and that, you know, I'm not saying that you would have this, but it's maybe worth examining. If you feel excited and you reward yourself with shopping, if you feel grief and you reward yourself with shopping or you try and overcome the grief by shopping, if you feel rebellious for some reason and you want to show the world that you don't care, so you go shopping. You know, like if you have a whole range of emotions, but your answer to dealing with all of them is to go shopping, then that might indicate that you're not shopping for the right reasons and that you are using that purchasing high as your relief from the symptoms of something deeper. You can also kind of work out that it's becoming a bigger issue when you start to harm your relationships, you know, so friendships dropping away, definitely, you know, partners, if you're lying to people about these behaviors, how much you bought, how much you spent, that kind of thing. And it's really starting to affect your social circle or your family or the people you're closest to. That's definitely a red flag. And even just the feeling that you've lost control. So when you're shopping is just having consequences on your life that are negative, lost time, lost finances, your reputation's dwindling, you know, you're losing focus on your other tasks, you might be losing respect that you know, from other people. When these things kind of feel like they're spiraling and are a bit out of control, then it's probably time just to go and talk to someone and say, look, this is what I'm experiencing. Do I have a problem or are there some other ways that I can get a handle on this?
Yeah. Okay. So if anyone has seen themselves in that list of signposts that you just talked about, you just sort of mentioned going and talking to someone. So what are people's options?
So a chap called Donald Black from the University of Iowa said that 2/3 of people that suffer with this also suffer with depression or anxiety, and sometimes it's not diagnosed because you keep yourself on the constant buzz of shopping and then researching and then shopping some more. So you could be suffering.
So you're self-medicating.
Yeah, depression or anxiety and not realizing because you don't feel low or down or highly anxious all of the time because you're medicating yourself with that with that shopping. So he suggested that in order to effectively treat your shopping addiction, you might need to also deal with some of the other underlying mental health issues that could be there. And there's when you go online and have a look and type in shopping addiction or compulsive shopping or compulsive buying disorder, there's a whole lot of recovery programs that exist out there. So it's, I guess, because it's more prevalent than we think, there's also a whole lot more options to try and get some help as well. So you can find recovery programs like there's Spenders or Shoppers Anonymous, which are like we always think of Alcoholics Anonymous, those same kind of support groups that either meet in person or there are online communities that you can join as well. But also quite a lot of counsellors will deal with this and also psychologists. And psychologists will quite often use a variety of methods. And one of those would be exposing people to the situations which they would normally be tempted to buy in and, you know, gradually increase that exposure without having the results. So it might be, you know, I think the easiest way to relate to it is when you think of people that have phobias. If someone has a phobia of a spider, or of spiders, they might start by showing them a picture of a spider in a safe place, in a safe room, just show them a photo and let them, you know, come to terms with that and be exposed, take some deep breaths and get over that. And then the next week it might be showing them a video of a live spider, things like that. So the same can be done for people that have this disorder, it might be showing them a whole lot of sales catalogs and then closing them and putting them in the bin and preventing them from going online to research any of those products any further. Then, you know, it might work its way up to walking through a shopping center without buying anything. Then it might be walking through a shopping center, picking items up, looking at them and not buying, or picking them up, putting them in your basket and then leaving the basket at the checkout and walking out without purchasing. Like you gradually increase the exposure to things until people are recovered. But there are a whole lot of different methods, and depending on how severe your disorder is would depend on what kind of route you went down.
Yeah. So there's, you know, CBT, exposure therapy, then probably NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, could probably be another therapy that could be investigated as well. So there's definitely some options there.
So if this is something that has resonated with you, please just use this as your starting off point to do some more investigation, if you like, and certainly don't feel like you need to sit and suffer in silence. This is not something to be taken lightly if it's really starting to impact your life negatively. Or if you recognize some of these behaviors in other people, you can maybe suggest they listen to the podcast or think of a very nice, appropriate way to come up with a discussion about this or the topic. But yeah, please don't suffer alone. See if you can reach out to someone and try and find some support, because shopping should be a fun thing and it is something that's going to be there for the rest of your life. It's never going to go away. Mm. So if you can get a handle on it and have a really functional, healthy relationship with it, it's going to make your life a whole lot better.
Very true. So again, if you want to chat about this with other listeners or with us, please join us in our Facebook community group. We're easy to find and we can have a little bit of a chat about that. And until next week, we'll see you later.
Thanks for joining us. We'd love it if you'd leave a review or tell all your friends about us so they too can be uncluttered. If you'd like to connect with us, you can find us at beuncluttered.com.au or on social media or on our own websites at clearspace.net.au and basklifecoaching.com.